Hi there, welcome to lesson six. This is our final lesson and maybe one of my most favorite lessons. The lesson where we're going to talk about trusting the animals and Mother Earth, which is going to be really important when it comes to survival because the earth and everything in it is going to be our guide. It was the guide of our ancestors, it was the guide of the First Nations people. They used earth, the water, the forest, and all other forms of life on this beautiful Mother Earth that we have to guide us and to teach us and to show us how to survive, how to use the materials for our home and our clothes and our tools. She provides us with life and all the raw materials in our industry. And it's a process that we have to ask ourselves. And one of the things that I really started to ask myself when COVID-19 happened and we all went into lockdown and we started to see Mother Earth begin to heal herself. And we started to see the waters become blue and crisp and clear and clean. And we started to see the smog lifting over places so that we could see views and beautiful scenery that we had never seen before because it was blocked by the industrial and the smog and the amazingly overrun, overflowing with abundance of things and stuff and needs that we seem to have as humans that we continue to create and put through our factories as we are destroying the earth, the ozone layer, the climates. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on. The truth is that if you wiped out all of the humans from Earth, she would not only survive, she would thrive. But if you took the ants away from Mother Earth, we would not survive for very long, or the bees, or several other species of animals, plants, you name it. You see, the earth is here, and Mother Nature is here, what is helping us and sort of keeping us together. We owe that to Mother Nature. But unfortunately, that's not what we're giving back. The earth does not belong to human beings. Human beings belong to the earth. It's a statement that we've heard over and over again. And if we don't begin to reestablish some harmony and unity with the natural environment, then we're going to be in some very, very big, big trouble. But what can we learn? And what do we need to know? And what are some of the most important things to know and to understand? There's all kind of research that you can do, and we've talked about the moon in some previous lessons, but the moon, when you're in survival mode, will tell you so many things. The moon will tell you when to harvest. The moon will tell you when cycles or phases, planting seasons. The moon will tell you when the tides and where the tides will be. The moon will teach us and tell us so many things that long ago, much prior to any technology, they were using. Not only using the moon in ways that seem, scientific, but also using the moon to charge water, using the moon, they were harvesting on different moons. They were bringing in their crops when the moon was in a certain phase. They were understanding that they would yield more at that time. They were understanding that they could use the moon to cleanse and to charge and to release things. Same thing was with the trees. Even now to this day, I don't look at my app to tell me what the wind is blowing. I look up onto the top of the trees and I see which direction the wind is blowing. I don't trust technology to do that. I can look around me and see it. And that's a big thing when we're in survival mode. And watch the birds. They'll tell you when spring is coming. You don't need to turn on the news to hear, oh, it's the first day of spring, or oh, this is happening and that's happening, and the groundhog saw its shadow. The birds will tell you when they're migrating and when they're coming back and when they're leaving, how soon the winter will come and how soon the spring will come. And I'm very much the same way. When my horses start shedding out in January and December, I think we have a problem. And right now, currently, as I'm filming or as I'm recording this, we know that we're going to have a problem with moisture. My horses were starting to shed out in December. It's telling me there's an early spring coming, but there's also not a lot of rain or snow coming. And so then that creates a lack of moisture. And when you have a dry environment and you have such a lack of moisture, then you end up having little hay, little feed, little grass, greenery, all the things that we're experiencing now, and the shifts and the changes that Mother Earth is going through are able to be predicted based on what the animals are doing around us. It's the same thing I can tell you all summer long when storms are coming, and not like it's going to rain. But when a very treacherous storm, one that we would be concerned about at a tornado level, the horses will tell me an hour before that there's something to come. An hour, think about that. That's a lot of time to get a warning to know, okay, there's something really bad coming in. You know, it's the same thing on our property. When the wind typically blows from a certain direction on our ranch, and it comes out of the west. And so as the wind comes out of the west, we expect that, we know that it's coming. But when the wind comes from the east, we all kind of, our hair starts to stand up. And it doesn't just mean that when the wind is coming out of the east, that there's a different kind of a storm brewing. It means something bad can happen. It means this is not a good day to spend money. This is not a good day to get into arguments. This is not a good day for us to invite family or friend, you know, outside family or friends over. This is not a good day to break bread with other people. The winds blowing from the east will all say, oh, everybody should hunker down and just be still and be quieter today. You know, and you think about the weather. How can you use the weather for survival? Well, if you have no internet and you have no technology, you're going to need to understand how to move and shift with the weather. How much food will you need to gather? How much wood will you need? Will you be able to plant? On what days? When will the rain come? Did you know that you can smell rain? Even before it comes, you can smell it. And did you know, and have you heard people say that they can feel snow? You can feel snow. You can walk outside, and if the weatherman tells you it's not going to snow, you can feel it. I'll say to my husband, I feel the snow. I suffer from something called weather migraines, and I've always resisted this and felt like it was just this huge curse, and it was this awful thing that I was somehow put on me in my life. And I used to have some migraines in my 20s, but not anything like what they have been as I've been going through menopause. But my migraines and vertigo that I've been having are very triggered around weather and pressure systems. I can tell you when the pressure is dropping, and I can tell you when the pressure is rising. But I can also tell you when it's going to snow, when it's going to storm. And people say, no, Mom, it's not going to snow. And I'll say, yeah, it's actually going to snow. I'll know because I can feel it in my brain. And that's something that human beings had since the beginning of time. And it was a defense mechanism to say, if you were out hunting or doing something, oh, I feel pain in my brain. I need to get home so I can be safe because there's a storm coming or there's something brewing. So being able to be so sensitive and in tune with your body allows you to be very sensitive and in tune with nature. When you're in tune with the animals and you see certain things, like my daughter said to me today, Mom, the bunnies are turning brown. You know, a lot of people might not notice that or think about that. That's important for us to know. Okay, the bunnies are turning brown. We're going into spring. The spring is here. What does that mean? Well, normally we don't start to see the bunnies turn brown until about, you know, the second week or moving around like the 10th or the 15th of May. Well, the bunnies are turning brown now. Okay, we need to pay attention. That means we're about 3 weeks ahead of time. So where does that put us for planting our gardens? That gives us the understanding that maybe instead of waiting right until May long weekend, we'll be able to get the garden in even sooner than that. What does that allow us to do? It allows us to harvest the garden sooner, which if we were in survival mode and we are in a place and a position where we don't have any electricity and we don't have any food, it's definitely going to matter how soon we can get it out of the ground. How soon we can get it out of the ground. Does that make sense? Because it's important to know when you're planting, when you're harvesting, when you're shifting, when you're moving things around, you really want to know and you really want to understand what is happening and how is it happening around me. The moon, the stars, the trees, the wind, the weather. The biggest and most important thing that you should do is trust Mother Nature and trust Mother Earth. There are so many echoes that go by us every single day from our ancestors telling us, tune into the earth, tune into the things that are happening around us so that we can sustain life around us when this technology that we created falls to the wayside. The basic will always be there. It's kind of, I'm going to give you my final analogy before I'm going to sign off on this lesson, but think about back in the day, you know, there was sugar, there was flour, there was vanilla, there was butter. There were all the things that you needed to bake a cake, and your great grandmother was probably really good at doing it. But your grandmother, by the time technology sort of advances and things move along, she's getting Duncan Hines cake boxes, and it says, just add water. So she's now going to the store, buying a cake, a box, putting it in a bowl, and adding water, stirring it up, and putting it in the oven, as opposed to the flour, the sugar, the scratch recipe. Now, and that's your grandmother. Well, your mother, or if you're, you know, wherever you are age-wise, if you're my age, nowadays, everything is just so pre-bought and packaged. What's the point? You could just go into Safeway and get yourself a really nice cake for 10 bucks. You don't have to bake it. Where will technology be? I don't know. Who knows? My granddaughters, if we continue the rate that we're going with technology, they might just be able to like pop a pill in their mouth and it tastes like cake and them not have to get the calories from it. I don't know. But what I do know is that if you take away the technology and I can't get into the grocery store because my bank card won't work and the doors won't open because the internet is shut down, and if I can't get to the Duncan Hines cake mix where I just add water, I can store flour, sugar, butter, all those basic things to be able to make bread or to make cakes or whatever it might be that I need to do. Because technology, in order to be able to get those things, they were able to harvest so many things, going all the way back even beyond your grandmother and going back to the great, great, great grandmothers. They were taking sap out of the trees and they were mixing, you know, the flour and the wheat that they were grinding together. There's always a way to survive, but you're never going to be able to do it unless you're in sync with Mother Earth and with Mother Nature. Because when you can't bake a cake, you darn well better know where the best berries are on what tree and when they will be the ripest and when they will be available to you will depend on when the frost came, when the ground thawed, when the moon happens to dictate harvest and flow and growing, all of those things. It's not something that I could teach in moments. But it is something that I encourage you to go and learn. It's connected to your intuition and to the inner depth of your soul. Trusting and understanding that survival connected to animals and paying attention to migration. And the thing is, it's all dependent on where you live. If you're listening to this course right now, there's no point in me teaching you about where I live, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. But if you're in Australia or if you're in, you know, South Carolina, or if you're in England, you're all going to have different variables. What are the birds and the animals that migrate? What are the ones, or do they stay all year? What are the shifts and the changes that you noticed in your season? What happens with your trees? What happens with your water? What happens with your tides? All those things. The research and knowledge is going to never, ever, ever mean so much and be as valuable to you as it is right now in 2022. When we live on the verge of a World War III, when we live on the verge of a virus that has yet to be completely contained, when we live in a time of uncertainty and difficult understandings of which direction we're going from any given day, now is definitely the time for you to open up your mind, heart, and spirit to connecting with nature, trusting Mother Earth, and understanding that that is the biggest and most important guide for your survival. Thank you for taking this course. I hope you learned as much as I set out to teach you, and I look forward to connecting with you again very soon.